This is the Story Mine. I'm Dave Bullock, along with my co-host,
Kathy Barker.
And we're going to bug you today.
You know, in the spring, the bugs come out, and suddenly we have ants and flying creatures everywhere.
You know, Kathy, that's one of the things I like about winter. No bugs to bug me.
But since it's springtime now, let's hear about your bug story, Dave.
This is a story I wrote about 5 years ago. It's called How the Ladybug Got Its Spots. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, so long ago, in fact, humans weren't even on this planet at that time. The only reason that I know about this story at all is because there are insects, bugs, that lived back then. And they've told and retold this story throughout the thousands and thousands of years since this story happened. The bugs would tell this story to their children, and their children would tell it to their children, all the way down through the generations of bugs that led up to this time we live in right now. The only reason that I know about this story is because I was in my flower garden today by the honeysuckle bushes, and a ladybug landed on my arm. I was about ready to swat it away when I heard this tiny little voice that told me it would tell me a story if I spared its life. "Oh, please don't smoosh me," it said. Well, I couldn't believe my ears. When I heard that tiny little voice, so soft and silent, I could hardly hear it speaking to me. At first, I thought I was imagining a voice as my hand came down ready to slap the little creature, but having heard that soft, sweet voice, presumably from the ladybug, I didn't smash it with my hand. Instead, I listened. Sitting down on a tree stump, I looked at the bug and said, "Go ahead and tell me your story, but it better be a good one, because you're tickling my arm and I don't know whether to giggle with laughter or smash ya." The little bug fluttered its wings a few times as though it were getting ready to give a great speech, and then, while resting there, said, "Long before there were big giants like yourself on this earth, there were little bubble people who lived in communities quite a bit like yours, except they didn't have houses. They lived in the tops of the trees where they could get plenty of sunshine. These little bubble people looked very much like humans. They had arms like humans, legs like humans, even heads that looked very much like your human heads look. I guess the main difference between them and humans was that the little bubble people were very small. Why, even the tallest of them was only about as tall as a grasshopper. Being small was a big problem for them because many of the bugs that lived on Earth at that time were almost as big as they were. Take the praying mantis, for example. The praying mantis was so big that if one were to be attacked by a praying mantis, it was almost certain death. It'd be similar to a full-grown human like yourself being attacked by a kangaroo, a man-eating kangaroo that kills you by biting off your head and sucking all of your juices out of your body. You wouldn't want that to happen to you, would you?" "No," I said in amazement that I was actually talking to a little bug. The little ladybug continued telling her story. "Light was their nourishment. That's why they lived in the tops of the trees. Well, one of the reasons they lived in the tops of the trees, you see, sunshine gave these little bubble people strength. Even when the sun went down, starlight or moonlight would give them enough strength to do what they needed to do. And I bet you don't know what they loved to do more than anything else." "No, I can't say that I do know what they liked to do most," I replied. "They could make bubbles. Big bubbles that would surround them with a protective coating that reflected the light in such a way that they couldn't be seen by the insects and other predators, such as the birds that lurked in the lush green forests where they lived. Another wonderful thing that the bubbles did for the little bubble people was the bubbles made it so they could fly through the air. All they had to do was surround themselves with a bubble, face the direction that they wanted to go, and through some unknown means of propulsion, off they'd go through the sky. They had to be careful of the birds, though, because the birds couldn't see them and could fly into them, causing the bubble to pop. And if the bubble popped, they'd fall towards the ground. It wouldn't take but a second to make a new bubble, however, and then off they'd go, flying through the air, invisible to every creature but their own kind. The little bubble people could link up together by holding hands and fly wherever they wanted to go, like over to the waterfall or way up high into the bugbanda trees, the biggest, tallest, highest trees on earth at that time. Bugbanda trees had gnarly, twisted branches with thick, sticky bark and long needles that poked out all over the branches and twigs. They had big, broad leaves that had sheltered the little bubble people when it rained. The closer to the ground the tree got, the thicker the trunk and branches. The leaves would get bigger and bigger the closer to the ground they came, causing the light from the sun to be blocked out, making it dark and foreboding on the ground under their boughs. The bugbanda tree trunks were so thick with prickly needles, very few insects or other animals could climb the trunk, and the trees had an odd, strong fragrance that we bugs didn't like at all. Because of the prickly needles, sticky sap, and stinky smell, only the strongest and smartest of the flying insects would dare go into the bugbanda trees for fear that they'd be stuck in the sticky sap. Most didn't have the strength to fly to the tops of the trees where the little bubble people lived. It would seem that the bubble people wouldn't be able to live there either because of the needles and the danger that a needle would pop their bubbles, but the bubble people learned how to live among the needles, and the tree's sap kept the bubbles from popping, even if one poked through the bubble. The sap would also help them to not slip and fall. They could even walk upside down on the underside of the branches because their feet would stick to the tree branch. But they'd never become stuck to the tree branch. Amazing! When they wanted to go flying, they'd walk out onto the edge of the leaves and spring off of it just like you humans do on a diving board. Bloop! The bubble would form around them, and they would fly over to their friend's place for a nice visit or go sightseeing over to the beautiful green lake that was on the edge of the bugbanda tree forest. The bubble people would build their beds on the needled branches and then make a bubble which would stick to the needles. Cradled as they were, they'd sleep soundly all night long without worrying about falling out of their beds. This was their home, amid the sharp needles and the large protective leaves of the bugbanda trees. It was the safest place to be in the event heavy clouds covered the light from the moon and the stars during the night. When the starlight was gone and there was no moonlight, no light at all, the bubble people would become very weak and sleepy, so weak they wouldn't be able to make their protective bubbles that'd make them invisible to the huge insects that could bite them, or even worse, eat them. It was at that time, when it was pitch dark, that they were the most vulnerable to the predators. The worst predator of all, the praying mantis. The praying mantis was strong enough to fly to the top of the bugbanda trees, gently landing on the tip of a sharp needle. Even the praying mantis could get stuck in the tree sap and die a slow, horrible death if it wasn't careful. They learned to light on the very tip of the needle where they wouldn't get stuck, at least not if they landed gently. The praying mantis would wait throughout the night for a dark moment. When all light would be blocked by the clouds, they would then see the tasty bubble people and pounce. When the light disappeared, the bubbles would disappear too, causing the bubble people to be seen by the keen eyes of the praying mantis. When this happened, the mantis would drop out of the treetops and dive towards his helpless sleeping victim. Its aim would have to be precise, because if it opened its wings, they might become stuck on the sap or pierced by a needle, trapping them forever. The more they'd struggle to get away, the more stuck they would become. Much like your flypaper, which has taken many of my family members away from the living. Did I mention that the bubble people hated bugs? I'm sure I did, but perhaps I need to remind you that bugs were the enemy of the bubble people. They were terrified of insects, any insects, especially the princess of the bubble people, the most beautiful of all the bubble people. Story says that she had the most beautiful red lips, far more beautiful than any of the other bubble person's lips ever. Her lips were so red, the hummingbirds were always flying up to her and kissing her with their pointed beaks as though they thought that there was nectar to be had from her lips. And perhaps there was, because they'd come and kiss her time and time again. The princess wasn't afraid of hummingbirds and actually giggled when they'd kiss her. It's said that she actually rode on the back of a hummingbird and went so fast she blew off and fell toward the ground. Thank goodness for her bubble, or she would have crashed into the ground below. All of the bubble people loved the princess. She was so kind and loving to all except bugs. She hated bugs, all kinds of bugs. To protect her from any attack by bugs, she had guards that would stand watch and zap an intruding bug with Bugbanda sap, sticking them to wherever they were so they couldn't scare their princess. These were the strongest of the bubble people, the ones who could stay awake during the darkest of nights in order to protect their beautiful red-lipped princess. One bright day, the forest was rocked by a huge explosion. Even though the blast was far away, its force was strong enough to bend the trees over because of the gust of wind that came from the explosion. A volcano had erupted, and it was shooting hot ash into the sky. So much ash that the sun was blocked, and the light wasn't able to penetrate through the thick black clouds. There was still enough light, however, for the bubble people to use their bubbles and head home to the tops of the trees. Those who were far away were so weak from the lack of light, they had to take shelter in redwood trees or tall palms. The princess became so tired, the later in the day it got, the less light there was. The less light there was, the more tired the bubble people became. And by nighttime, the thick ash cloud completely blocked out the stars and the moon, making it the darkest night that was ever told about in stories. By this time, I was holding my arm with that little ladybug on it right up to my ear. I was so interested in the story that was being told. I wanted to hear every word, and I was getting tired of holding up my arm. I asked the little bug if she could rest on my ear so that I could hear her story more clearly. "Of course," she said, and she flapped her little wings and flew right onto my ear. Boy, did that tickle. "Oh, thank you," I said. "Please go on with your tale." This was the night the praying mantis had been praying for, a total dark night when all of the bubble people would be asleep, even the guards. There was something about the princess's deep red lips that made the praying mantis want to eat her more than any of the others, so the mantis flew to a strong pointed needle and waited for everyone to go to sleep. When the explosion happened, the rustling wind blew through the flower fields at the base of the volcano. It swept a rather flat, round, black bug from the underside of a honeysuckle bush and carried it in the wind towards the green lake and the tall Bugbanda trees. This black bug had wings hidden under its black armor on its back, and it tried and tried to fly back to the flowering honeysuckle, but was so far away it had to stop and rest. But where? Even in the darkest of dark, this little bug saw what it thought to be a flower, a beautiful red flower. Now was the time for the praying mantis to dive upon its victim and suck out its juices, as all praying mantises do. It leapt from the needle and dove towards its prey. At the same time, the black bug landed right on the bubble princess's red lips, waking her from her deep sleep. Not knowing what had just landed on her lips, she gasped, sucking the bug into her mouth. She quickly sat up and was about to spit out the offending gross creature when just behind her, a huge praying mantis slammed into the thorny limb where she had just been laying. The praying mantis landed on the thorns and was immediately killed. The princess reached into her mouth and plucked the little black bug out and in amazement realized that had it not been for that hideous bug landing in her mouth, the praying mantis would have landed on her and she would have been killed. Well, she was so grateful to that big black bug, she began kissing it all over its back, so much so that the red from her lips covered the back of that bug, all except for a few black spots where her lips had not touched the bug. A celebration of gratitude was held when the skies cleared and that bug that had once been black but now was red with the exception of a few black spots here and there was honored. The princess loudly proclaimed that from that day on, that bug that saved her life would be crowned and known as Lady Bug, and that no bubble person should be afraid of her or her offspring. That's why to this day no creature, save the aphids that kill the flowering plants, has fear for the ladybug. To this day, even the most bug-fearing human has no fear of the ladybug. I've heard, though, that your little ones play tricks on the ladybug and tell her that her house is on fire and all of her children are alone. What a mean thing to say to a noble red bug with black spots. Don't you know how much that disturbs us? We just have to fly away home to make sure that our children are safe. Well, anyway, that's how my great-great-infinity-great-grandmother became known as Lady Bug and became the hero to the princess, getting kisses from her beautiful lips, changing her and her descendants' color from black to red forever. Now, aren't you glad you didn't smash me into your arm? How would it make you feel smushing the descendant of royalty into your arm? Pretty bad, huh? At that, she thanked me for not squishing her and told me that she had to go check on her children and flew away.
Did that really happen?
That was a true story.
Let's hear another one.
How the toad got its lumps, bumps, warts, hives, or whatever. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, but not so long ago as there aren't creatures hereabout that can tell you of the truthfulness of this story, there lived a beautiful young frog named Toady. Toady had the smoothest, prettiest, fairest skin of all the frogs in the pond, not only her pond, but also all of the known frog ponds in the whole kingdom. As a matter of fact, without a doubt, Toady was the most beautiful frog in the entire world. Toady, when she was a young pollywog, was raised on the very best of froggy tales such as Cinder Frog, Rumpelstilts Frog, Sleeping Froggy, and Froggy Locks and the Three Salamanders. Because of her fascination for these stories, Toady developed a very vivid imagination. She often dreamed of being one of the main characters. No, not one of the main characters, but the main character in her very own fairy tale. Know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? The star, the bomb, the center of attention? Well, because of her fair skin and beautiful complexion, Toadie always dreamed about marrying the Frog Prince and living in a royal castle and having her very own throne. Actually, Toadie wasn't really too well informed about the royal throne. She had the understanding that the royal throne was a small indoor pool whereby she could command a change of water by the mere flip of a magic handle which was attached to the throne, thereby flushing away all of the dirty water and replenishing it with new, fresh, clean, sparkling, pure water. So one day, Toadie decided to go to the castle to have a look for herself what this wonderful throne looked like. She hopped down the main street with such elegance, all the other frogs went, "Ooh, there goes Toadie!" And then Toadie hopped over the river, splash! She wasn't really a very good hopper. And then she hopped through the woods, "Watch out for that tree! Oh, ouch!" And then finally, she came to the castle wall, clunk! She snuck in through the back door and immediately heard splashing coming from the next room. Toadie was so excited. This close to the throne room already? Hopping as fast as her beautiful little legs would go, she entered into what she thought was the throne room. And when she saw Sasquatch, yes, that's right, Sasquatch. Oops, no. I'm sorry, it wasn't Sasquatch. It was Princess Harry skinny-dipping in the royal swimming pool. Thinking that she was in the royal throne room, Toadie hopped over to the edge of the pool and without hesitation jumped right into the water with Princess Harry. Immediately, this poor little frog began itching and scratching all over her body. Her soft, smooth, fair skin began to burn like it was on fire. Poor little Toadie didn't know that she was allergic to chlorine and all the other chemicals that the caretaker put into the royal pool, just in case Princess Harry didn't make it to the royal restroom in time. Toadie gulped down a great big mouthful of putrid chlorinated peat and water and drowned. Princess Harry, who had ears as big as Sasquatch, heard Toadie's little gasps and saw that it was a frog. She'd never really seen one, but had heard the fairy tale about the princess who kissed the frog, and he turned into a handsome prince. And all of a sudden, Harry realized that her lifelong dream was about to come true. She speedily dove to the bottom of the pool, caught up the little frog, and took it back to the edge of the pool. Seeing that the little beast was about dead, she, having graduated from the Sally Struthers School of CPR, checked to see if the frog's airway was clear and then began the resuscitation process. Or could it have been that she just wanted to kiss the little bugger in hopes that it would turn into a handsome prince? Toadie suddenly woke up and saw the princess coming in with a great big wet one. "What are you doing?" Toadie screamed, and she quickly jumped out of the hairy princess's palm. When the princess saw that it was only a regular frog and not a royal prince, she grabbed the royal broomstick and beat the living daylights out of the little imposter. Toadie barely made it out alive to tell of the terrible things that happened that day. I guess you could say it was the combination of the chlorine, the other chemicals, and the merciless beating that she'd gotten from the hands of that hairy, naked Sasquatch thing. But from that day on, Toadie's skin was never smooth, pretty, or fair again. And that's how her descendants got their warts, hives, lumps, and bumps, or whatever. And that's how toads came to be.
Time flies when you're having fun. This is Kathy Barker.
And Dave Bullock.
Hoping you'll join us next week at the Story Mine.
You never know what treasures you'll find deep underground in the Story Mine.
If you love stories as much as we do, email us at thestorymine@gmail.com and we'll put your story on the air.
Goodbye.